Good morning, it's Trina Mara here. Something for the weekend. And you know, our menopause mini-series kicked off there 2 weeks ago. And I'm delighted to have Niamh Daly in studio now. Because Niamh, you are a yoga teacher and you're really interested in the menopause, the perimenopause, because you know that yoga can help.
I do, and I'm more than interested. I'm passionate about it. So I'm 49 now, and I suppose the first traits of menopause started to come into my life in my early 40s. But in my mid-40s, I started to feel like my body was letting me down. There was a lot of kind of scary stuff going on that I didn't know how to make sense of. And I kind of downward spiraled into a lot of fear about, was my body, you know, giving up on me? What about my mind, you know, the brain fog and all that? And no one was kind of talking about it really at the time, and this is only 5 years ago. So eventually I went to my doctor, who I don't tend to go to very much unless there's a serious issue, and I said, just give me all the blood tests please now. And everything came up fine, and I did have a suspicion that I was in perimenopause, and she said, yes, your FSH levels are high, which is the follicle stimulating hormone, and that's how they analyse whether you're in perimenopause or not. So that's basically the last hurrah of your ovaries, and sometimes at that time you get a big spurt of you get radiant, you have loads of energy because your body is just saying, come on, make the last babies. Oh. So I'd had this lovely radiant phase, and then suddenly things were starting to feel a bit iffy. And I remember being in the surgery when the doctor was giving me the results, and she said, how are you feeling? And I said, oh, really menopausal. And she said, oh yeah, okay, so hot flushes and night sweats and brain fog and acopia. And I said, what? Acopia? And she said, yeah, that's a word we have for when you just feel like you just can't cope anymore.
Oh, I thought that was going to be some medical term.
Well, it is. Yeah. In a way, they've created a term for it, which is was such a relief to me, because that's exactly how I felt, that I couldn't multitask my work and my children and my ex-partner and all the things that I had to do. Just felt too much. And it was like my whole sense was trying to tell me to simplify, but I just didn't know whether it was me not being capable or something that really needed addressing.
Yeah.
So here I was, knowing what was going on, and the relief was enormous. So I went from terror to acceptance quite quickly and understanding quite quickly. And then I made a job of it. I turned it into my work.
You mentioned there about your children. So how old were you when you had your last child?
40.
So you were kind of starting then perimenopause soon after that.
Yes, very soon after it. But even when I was breastfeeding my kids, I started getting what I was at the time calling warm flushes. And I think, looking back now, that it was the beginning. It was the first beginning of the changes of my hormones. Because even when you're still menstruating normally every month or whatever, and you're still having all those cycles, your hormones are also changing towards perimenopause. So you may, that's one of the reasons I think women get frightened, is because they're thinking, well, it can't be that because I'm still having my periods. So they get concerned that it's something health related rather than, or medically health related rather than a natural process.
We mentioned actually last week with Loretta Dignam from the Menopause Hub about, you know, when women go into menopause, it can be really, really tough because they may have reached the peak of their career in their job. They might have to do presentations, and the brain fog that you mentioned, you had the brain fog too.
Absolutely. I did things like completely forgot to turn up for classes, and sometimes in classes, you know, mentioning entirely different parts of the body than I meant to mention. At one point I asked my students to bend their nose. I don't know how you bend a nose, but that's what I asked them to do, and they all went very quiet and then they laughed. They understand me, but other people that I don't work with so often, maybe if I go into a corporate setting, it's a little more self-conscious in those settings, and people are very giggly about it when you talk about it. So the class that I forgot to turn up for was a corporate one, and when I tried to explain to them what had happened, of course there was the giggling and the smirking. And that's what I'm so delighted about now, is that you're doing this podcast, which is making this, well, it's part of a zeitgeist now that seems to be happening, that we're a maverick generation of menopausal women who are speaking about it and advocating for ourselves. And so slowly, slowly, it'll stop being a subject of giggles and start being a subject of understanding.
So Niamh, talk to me about the yoga then. You mentioned there how you've made this your career. Now, you really look after women who are entering menopause and entering perimenopause as well.
Yes, absolutely. So I would initially be trying to help people to understand their bodies, whether they're in their 20s or their 80s, so that they're really starting to listen to what the signals are from their body, what they're feeling, and analysing what that is, and then making decisions based on that. So then when it comes to their 40s and they start to feel a change, they're able to look in and say, okay, that's not actually me falling apart or needing saving in a hospital. It's actually a natural phase in my life. And even though for many women, not many, a lower percentage of women, they will need medical help, there are many women who may be able to help themselves through it if they simply recognize what's going on. So yoga helps you really, what we call interocept, become really aware of what's going on internally in your body, and then starting to learn the different ways that you need to move when you're in perimenopause, because you can't continue to exercise in the same way. And one of the main reasons for that is that cortisol is already a very high hormone when you're in perimenopause, because the estrogen drops, and that's the hormone that energizes you. So cortisol takes over that job, and we all know that cortisol is a stress hormone, so we feel stressed and anxious all the time, and that's partly why there's a lot of anxiety in perimenopause. But if you exercise really stridently, and of course a lot of women will be finding their shape changing and they'll be worried about weight, so they'll also then be cutting down on their food intake, both of those things increase cortisol. So unwittingly, they're creating a more difficult scenario in their body.
Right, yeah.
And additionally to that, cortisol eats muscle tissue, and it also creates carbohydrate craving. So they're going, you know, the wrong way about trying to maintain.
So that's how you get the middle-age spread and all that, because you're going for the wrong foods as well. It's not...
It can be. I wouldn't say so much the wrong foods, is that you're giving your body different cravings than it naturally has. And I'm very much an advocate of not trying to figure out what's wrong and what's right and stop doing that and do this instead, and actually giving women a bit of a break, because we're so told all the 1700 things we have to do and the 1600 things we're not to do. And that's going to add to the cortisol too. I'm trying to help women move in a more intuitive way in their body and notice what they need from their core rather than from all this external input.
Yeah. Loretta mentioned to me last week actually about, it's an awful thing to say, but look, we have to talk about it. We're here to talk about it, about you can leak a little bit of wee, can't you, when you're doing exercise or when you're in menopause anyway. I mean, I think women do anyway sometimes after having kids. But do women worry about that when they're going to a yoga class? They go, oh God, I'm a bit concerned about there might be a bit of leakage or anything like that.
Well, the great thing is that the yoga I teach is not, there's no jumping up and down. So no, usually no leakage. But what you also, if you've got women listening to this program to this podcast who are not yet in perimenopause, just to let them know that they won't experience all the symptoms or all the traits, as I call them, when they're not really hefty, you know, when they're the natural symptoms, you won't experience all of them. So I'm fortunate I didn't get that, but I got plenty of other things. There's a list of about 40 possible things you can experience in perimenopause, but certainly leakage is not an issue in a yoga class. It's much gentler than that.
So don't worry about that. Okay.
Not at all.
So for women, though, who've never done any kind of exercise or they haven't done it in a long time, how difficult is the yoga?
Oh, well, it depends who you go to. So my advice to women in their 40s, even if they do a robust other practice like running or a big bonkers yoga class, is to also find gentle practices. Now, if you're going to, I think I'm the only teacher specializing in yoga for menopause, but if you can't come to my classes and you're looking for another teacher, find someone who teaches a gentle yoga practice, maybe a more mature woman who's teaching who understands where you're at. But absolutely, it's the whole point really of yoga is meeting a physical practice where you're at rather than trying to turn yourself into something else. Of course, if you're a 20, 30 something year old going to an Ashtanga Vinyasa class, which is the name of the kind of more jumpy around style, you may be asked to do some fairly bonkers stuff or to aim for some fairly bonkers stuff. The teaching I give is about really meeting yourself where you're at and just finding the best possible way to keep yourself as mobile, as accessibly and sustainably possible, and safely, of course.
And have you seen massive changes then from the women, from even their attitude from when they first come in the door?
Trina, my heart sings when I hear what people are saying after they've either heard, like I had a woman, I'm doing private sessions with a woman in New York who heard a podcast that I did on the perimenopause. And she said when she emailed me first that it was the first time she felt understood. And when I teach my classes, the women sit down and they start to kind of, you can see them soften and melt at being looked after, because I'll set up all the props for them, the blankets and the bolsters for them to rest on. And you can just see them, yeah, just resting in their centre and feeling, oh my God, someone's looking after me instead, because these women are working and they're minding their kids and they haven't looked after themselves for yonks. So there's that. And then they start to feel a little less achy in their joints, if that's what they've been having, because they've learned a little bit about how to move differently. So it's not great to go for a big strenuous run anymore. It's more maybe a walk holding weights. And if you are a runner, I'm teaching people to make sure they rest after. So rest is essential after exercise in this time, to lower your cortisol, bring it down, bring it down. Every time you do something stressful, do something to bring your cortisol down. So they're finding when they bring their cortisol down that then the anxiety is easing, and they're just generally being kinder to themselves and taking the space they need. One of the questions I always ask my yogis when they come in is, what's your menopause telling you? And they'll close their eyes, I'll do a meditation with them, and 80% of them will say, I just need to simplify. That's all, I need to simplify.
Yeah. Do you find that the partners are quite supportive, or do they understand it at all?
So I'm really hoping, part of the reason that I've done it now, this is my fourth podcast talking about perimenopause. And one of the reasons I'm doing it is because women find it very hard to explain it to their husbands. Their husbands are also finding it hard to listen. And also their teenagers are wondering what the hell's going on with mum.
Mum's gone mad.
Exactly. Yeah. And what a number of people have told me is that they've played my podcasts to their partners, because you know the way when you talk to your partner, they don't listen to you. You're much more likely to listen to someone on the radio than your own loved one. So
that's how I get all my messages across, that when he's listening at home, he'll get the hint.
Exactly.
You know what I mean, Eve?
You choose exactly the right guests. Yeah. So I'm finding that, I think it's really important for us to have some compassion for the husbands and the kids, because they have no idea what's going on. They feel they're losing mum or partner. She seems angry all the time. She's in tears, or she's running upstairs saying, I can't cope. Acopia again. And I think that once they understand, for instance, how long it goes on, because that was one thing my ex said to me, it seems to be going on an awfully long time. And I'm like, yeah, it can go on for like 8 years.
Yeah. And I'm not making this up, by the way.
Yes. It's the making it up thing is really upsetting for women, because it is so very real. So even though it's a really natural process, which is something I really want to get across to women, which is that this isn't your body going wrong. This is your body doing what it's supposed to do. And for some of us, that's easier than others. For some of us, we'll have absolutely no symptoms, and some will have loads. But for our partner to understand that it is absolutely real, it is normal, but it is difficult. And so I think once the guys understand, they'll stop sniggering, they'll stop wondering why it's taking so long, and they might just support you by making sure you have a bit of space, or that they pick up the pieces when you forget X, Y, or Z. Yeah. Again,
there is a sniggering kind of, like, you might just be a little bit hot and someone will say, oh, is it the change? And you're kind of going, that's actually really rude, a rude thing to say to somebody, isn't
it? I think it's very patronising, and I think we do that to our teenagers. There's a lot of crossover between puberty and perimenopause, and we patronise our teenagers as well. We go, oh God, she's hormonal or whatever. And I think it is patronising, but what's interesting is that it used to be called the change. And in a way, that was euphemistic. People are going, the change. But actually, it's a really nice way of describing it, because it is, all it is yet another change in our bodies. And we're very happy to change from being a child to a teenager, from a teenager to an adult, but we're not happy to change from a fertile woman to a perimenopausal woman. So I think actually readopting the term the change is actually quite interesting.
Niamh, how long have you been teaching yoga?
I've been teaching for 15 years, but my perimenopause speciality, I suppose, has been in the last 3 years as I've journeyed through it myself.
So you realised there was a need for someone there to help women.
Oh my God, that's the thing. There was no one there to help me except my doctor. And it was only after I realised what was happening that I started, because I'm very open. I talk about anything and everything to do with my body. And I was working in a physical, you know, business. Yoga's not so much a business. It's certainly not lucrative enough to be called a business. But I was working with the body. So I was very happy to talk about it to my students, because some of it was evident. I was, as I say, forgetting words. I'd be having a hot flush in the middle of a class. And then the conversation started to happen, and people felt more open, and now my students will happily talk about where they're at in it, and we'll talk sympathetically and supportively, then we might have a laugh as well, and then we get on with doing some yummy movement.
Yeah.
That keeps us
brilliant.
Live.
It's great to feel that you're not alone. You're not the only person going through this.
It's central. It's really central. And that's the worst thing that you can meet in perimenopause is fear, because that will just up all your symptoms.
Now, Niamh, you also have another life.
I do.
You might recognise the voice, actually, because Niamh has played Debbie O'Brien in Fair City for many years. Was that difficult when you were playing that character because of the brain fog? Because when you're an actress, you're learning lines off by heart.
Well, A, they're not going to recognise my voice because Debbie O'Brien had an accent.
She was a bit, she was a bit different, wasn't she?
From the city centre. So at the time that I was in Fair City, actually was in a glowy phase where I was saying to you that the oestrogen can really surge just before you hit a dip in the oestrogen and progesterone in the cycle of perimenopause. So actually I was, when I look back at myself on the goggle box, I think, my God, you were looking great, girl, you know, so really glowing. And with regard to learning lines, it's a very specific part of your brain. So it's more, I think the brain fog is more trying to come up with your own words and describing things that are in the middle of doing something and you're thinking, what the hell was I doing? So actually learning lines was really quite simple and logical.
Right, okay.
And I was fortunate that I wasn't really doing the hot flushes in a big way when I was there. I don't remember them ever happening on set. Once actually I had to actually call cut.
Because I was
in the middle of a hot flush, but that was it in 4 years.
Because even that storyline was such a massive storyline for so long in Fair City. The Katie kidnapping and Ciarán, the fact that he had her only up the road.
I know. The joys of soap opera.
It's good. The amount of days that he spent in Spar buying her sandwiches and dinners, wouldn't you think that they might go, hang on a second, he's eating an awful lot.
For such a lithe guy.
Exactly.
Yeah, he was looking fit.
But
the interesting thing is, I was at that time, I remember thinking, I wish they'd do a story on perimenopause here. And they did touch on it when they had one of the characters enter early menopause, is what they called it. And it happened very quickly. They just gave her a few hot flushes. She got sad about the fact she wasn't going to have kids, but they didn't carry on with that. But I think it would be really interesting to have a storyline where there's a perimenopausal woman who's really struggling with it, because the effects are huge. Like if you're in the workplace and you're not telling your colleagues what's going on and you're dropping the ball, then, you know, there's huge implications there.
Absolutely, yeah.
And also people leaving their partners and, you know, because they're feeling this disgruntlement coming up and this, you know, people being difficult with their kids or their kids being difficult with them. And, you know, there's a great story there for really what's going on. And at the moment, there's so many women advocating for themselves, and there's legislation being talked about for menopause leave in the workplace and making the workplace more menopause friendly. So this is the time, folks. You know, we're creating a much more comfortable perimenopause for our children. I'm thinking, oh my God, my 9-year-old and my 11-year-old are going to have a perimenopause and I'm advocating for them. That's a bit spooky, but I think it's true. I think it's a change now.
Well, I think, you know, everyone, you know, we're talking about mental health these days. We're talking about, even in Fair City, the Alzheimer's storyline. Why not? Why not?
That's the problem, is that we've been so reluctant to talk about it and embarrassed to talk about it. Just like all women's issues have been cloaked in shame. You know, they're called women's issues. You know, we haven't talked about periods. When we were kids, we called them
flowers.
Your flowers, that was it. and so everything's been euphemistic and, you know, swept under the carpet. I don't know. My mother died very young, but she was perimenopausal when she died. But we didn't know she was perimenopausal. I don't know anyone who knows what their mother's menopause was like.
No, not a clue.
No.
Not a clue. Well, how can we get in touch with you if we're interested in doing one of your yoga classes or getting more info?
So I mostly teach in the Wicklow area, but I also have some courses coming up in Dublin, in the Elbow Room, and another secret location where I'll be doing some weekly courses. And my business name is Yinstinct Yoga. I didn't create the name when I was thinking about doing the radio. It's Instinct with a Y at the front. So it's about moving instinctually, and yin is like the softer version of a practice. So yinstinctyoga.com, or they can look for Knee of Daily Yoga on Google and I'm sure they'll find their way to me.
Because they'll recognise your face straight away, Niamh.
They will.
Listen, thank you so much for coming in today.
Oh, thank you for doing the podcast. It's
not
so important.
No, it's great. And I'm getting some great feedback from women. So I'm delighted that we started it and we decided to do it. It needs to be talked about. Thank you so much.
Can I say one thing?
Of course you can.
From your 30s, you need to be educating yourself in this, because it starts to happen in your 40s, even if you don't feel it. So come along and start to know your body before it starts to happen.
Yeah, be ready and prepared and
exactly.
Have the information. Thanks so much, Niamh. This is Something for the Weekend on Classic Hits.